Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you. Hi, welcome to another episode on the Fully Express Podcast. Gosh, you guys, I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode because you're going to experience a very magical human that I think we all really wish we had in our corner.
His name is Junon, and he is the visionary founder of a community called The Group. It was born from the triumphs and trials of his own entrepreneurial journey. As a seasoned entrepreneur, Jun understands the personal and professional challenges that can often feel overwhelming. His journey has taken him through moments of helplessness and hopelessness, which fueled his passion to create a space where others don't have to navigate these challenges alone. The Group has a clear mission to empower individuals to overcome obstacles and pursue their dreams with renewed hope and determination.
In this episode, you're going to hear his own stories, the challenges that he faced since he was a very young kid, how he's healed his inner child by really stepping into the man that he really craved to have in his life, as well as like his outlook on the importance of conversations with other people and the importance of community. So I promise if you are craving to feel more connected and to not only yourself, but also to the leader that you get to be, this is going to be the perfect episode for you.
This was such a powerful conversation, and I think both of us really enjoyed it, and we cannot wait for you to listen. So enjoy. Welcome. Welcome on the podcast. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you. This is amazing. I love this.
Yeah, I feel like our world's finally connected because of everything that you're doing with SD, the SD group, and as well as like one of our dearest friends is Quentin,
right?
And so he talks so highly of you. So like you being on the show today, I'm like, wow, we get to know June. Like, what is June really like?
Yeah. There's not much to me. But I've been watching your podcast. So I love the podcast.
So. Thank you so much.
I love the drop-in. I love everything you do.
Thank you. I know those drop-ins, I always think about like, we should create like a reel of everyone dropping in because we do this with every single person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was special.
Sorry. Disappoint you. Okay.
But one thing that we wanted to start off with specifically was just like getting to know you and your entrepreneurship journey, as well as just your story of growing into the leader that you are today.
Yeah, we've heard you've had quite the journey. So
I always tell people when I tell people my story, I almost wonder if they believe it because there's so many different twists to it. I mean, if I would have heard it, I wouldn't believe it.
So. Yeah. Give it to us.
Well,
let's hear it.
I always start back to kind of my childhood and birth. So my parents, they were in the South Korean Army. My mother was a surgical nurse, and my father was in the Army, and they fought in the Vietnam War. And for that, they got a visa to the U.S. So they came to El Paso, Texas. Still not sure why they picked El Paso, but I was born there. And then as soon as I was born, my mother took off. She just, you know, she was having, which I didn't know, she was having issues with my father, so she just took off. So I was in the hospital, and so my father, he worked construction at that point, and he didn't speak English, but he picked up Spanish pretty quickly working on the construction site, and he asked the foreman, he's like, can you watch my son? He was just born, and I don't know what to do. So the foreman, luckily, his wife, that's what she did. So it's a Hispanic family. So I was raised for, you know, the early part of my life by a Hispanic family, and then my father, he wasn't making enough. And, you know, that immigrant mentality, he wanted to make, you know, make that American dream. Mm-hmm. So he asked the foreman, he's like, can you watch him a little longer? And then he took off for 6 years. And so the foreman had no idea he would leave for that long. So for the first 6 years of my life, Spanish, grew up in a Mexican household. Oh my gosh. Thought I was Mexican. So,
yeah. So you speak Spanish fluently?
I used to. So I understand a lot of it, but I don't use it on a regular basis. But that's all I spoke. I was this little Chino baby that just spoke Spanish.
In El Paso, Texas.
Yeah.
That's
in
amazing.
In El Paso, Texas.
Yeah. So kind of started there. And then from there, my father was able to build and he was an entrepreneur. He was able to build a construction company, came and got me at 6. And at that time, I thought I was being kidnapped. So it was a lot of different, you know, you could say like traumatic events, but I just say kind of chapter changes that really occurred throughout my life that kind of created who I am today. But I thought I was part of this family. All of a sudden, he took me from that family and then isolated me from that family. So I don't know who they are.
Oh, you never went back?
No, I don't know who they are. So I would love to reconnect with them. If anyone remembers me as a little Asian baby speaking Spanish.
Wow. Did he like come into the room and say like, I'm your dad and I'm taking you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like intense.
Well, the family never even told me that I had a different father. I just assumed that was my family. And so then when he came and got me, of course, it was traumatic for me. Took me to Tucson, Arizona. And I distinctly remember we stopped off at the airport and he spoke Spanish because he was in construction. And I see this chubby Asian kid, older kid, come out of the plane. He's like, and I was like, who's that? And he's like, that's your brother. So I had no idea. I had a full brother. They left him in Korea and then came here to have me. And so when he came over, this chubby Asian kid came up to me and he only spoke Korean. I only spoke Spanish. So this dynamic was strange.
This is nuts. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I see why people don't believe it.
Right?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so, but then right away he put us to work. He had the construction company. So we, even at the youngest of age, you know, I worked construction. He opened up a maintenance company, worked maintenance, worked dry cleaner, restaurant. So from 6 years on, I worked.
And how old was your brother?
He was a year older.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was actually only 10 months older. So.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot.
And they just left him in Korea.
Yeah. With my grandmother.
Okay.
So, yeah. So he came over and then we kind of, and it was difficult too, especially in, I'm 51 now, but I always joke I'm 71 because I feel like I've lived a 71-year-old's life. But in Arizona, there weren't very many Asians. So I was kind of an anomaly. I was picked on, but I was also speaking Spanish as an Asian kid. I mean, that was so odd. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that they can make fun of me. And so what ended up happening was, and, you know, I started martial arts at a young age too, but I ended up like defending myself against a bully. And I was like, oh. And then other kids that were getting bullied would come and get me because I defended myself. So I started defending other people. So at kind of a young age, it was kind of instilled in me like, oh, I kind of have a power. I can do things to help people.
Wow. So how did you, do you remember what it was like to finally stand up for yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was scared. I was constantly scared because, you know, I was so used to Texas and then going to Arizona, having to work. And then my father, he was abusive as well. But he didn't have the tools to figure out like how to control his emotions and deal with things. He was a single father in another country.
Right.
And he, at the time, South Korea was a third world country. So he wasn't really given the tools to really kind of work on himself. So he only knew abuse because his father abused him and so on. And so I was always living in fear. And that was the first time when I defended myself, I was like, oh, I'm not scared anymore. So it just kind of switched from that point.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm like so in awe. I'm like so excited for you. So how did that take you next? What's the next chapter look like?
So the biggest thing was kind of athletics because I was Asian. So I was expected to be smart in school. And so nobody picked me for any sort of like team, basketball, sport. Football, any sort of sport. So I really, that's how I would differentiate myself. I would excel in sports. That was like my driving force. And so played high level high school basketball, and then eventually I was like, oh, this is how I'm gonna get out, because I thought I could never get out of my father's control because he just wanted me to work. And so I was like, athletics, that's it. So I got a basketball scholarship to go play basketball. But as soon as I got to basketball, it was I figured out I'm not as good as I thought, because everybody's good. And at my size, you know, it just, everyone's bigger, everyone's quicker. So I transferred a couple schools and realized, well, I got to pivot. But so for me, the traumatic events are just pivot points and chapters. So just another page. So I switched that, went back to Tucson, went to U of A, and then finished out my degree. I switched to psychology and business, because first I want to find out what was wrong with my family and then find out what's wrong with me. And then business as well, just because I grew up in it. And so my father was illiterate. So a lot of the negotiations, even as a child, I had to do it. My brother had to do it. So we negotiated all the deals for leases, for contracts, everything. And so, and it's funny too, because it's, if somebody has a complaint and a 9-year-old walks around the corner, they're going to be a little less angry. So it actually worked.
Right.
So I learned to like deal with people. And
you learn negotiation at a young age. That's
exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so then what ended up happening was I finished school and then opened up a nightclub, and then opened up the nightclub, and it was extremely successful in Tucson. But I found that I felt like I was going to relive what my father went through as far as like the no weekends, no holidays. So I sold my interest to the partners and went into investment banking, moved to New York, worked for Morgan Stanley, and then transferred. I found out I'm not a New Yorker. I'm definitely.
Yeah. What about it?
It's noisy.
It's intense. It's loud.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
All I did was research. It was just research and just go.
Yeah. It never stops.
I would smile at everyone. I got shoved out of the subway a couple times because I kept letting people in.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize you're supposed to just claim your spot.
Literally.
And I got shoved out. I'm like, what is, I was too, and I told my manager, I was like, I can't do this here.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you stick it out for 2 years, you'll be set. I was like, no, I can't. So he said there's an opening in Scottsdale. So I transferred to Scottsdale and then ran the office there. But what ended up happening was I helped a client turn his company around. I was like, oh, I love doing this. Mm-hmm. So I started my own consulting company, did that for a few years, then sold it to a big consulting firm. And then from there, it's just been this entrepreneurship like
journey.
Yeah.
What gave you the confidence to like jump from role to role? Because I think sometimes a lot of people can get into this place of like, well, this is my path. But it seems like you took what you loved and then started the new thing. What was that like for you?
Honestly, it was trying to, I saw what my father did. Extremely successful businessman, but he was never happy. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to be a doctor. My brother was supposed to be the attorney, typical kind of Korean things. And so and I knew that's not what I wanted. So it was the process of seeing how he had everything. He was so insecure about his education and he tried to show off with his money. And I just knew I didn't want to be that. Mm-hmm. And I knew I didn't want to be stuck with, you know, what somebody wanted me to be versus what I wanted to be. So
that's the definition of fully expressed.
Yeah. But you still had the drive to be like your definition of successful, it sounds like. Like you still were motivated to, like, do you think you were motivated to find your thing? Is that what kept you going to the next thing? Or it was more of like, oh, this isn't quite what I thought it was. I'm going to pivot, try this.
Yeah. You know, it's, I just knew I didn't want to be in the restaurant business.
Okay.
Like I hated it so much because I grew up in it. It was just like, I didn't have weekends. All my friends all went out during the weekends. I had to work.
Yeah.
I missed my high school graduation because I had to work. All these different things. I'm like, I know this is not what I want to do, but I don't know what I want to do. And so it was just kind of this process of, all right. And I had this knack for seeing business opportunities. So I kept pursuing. I'm like, So it was kind of this drive. I don't ever want to go back to the restaurant business. So it was, and I don't want to be my father. So it was this whole process of, and in the beginning, it was definitely ego. A lot of ego. We all have it. And the ego in the beginning was, I want to make as much money as possible to prove my father, you know, I'm better than this and so on. But it came with a lot of stress and unhappiness and it never really amounted to anything. So I was previously married and when I got a divorce, it was the divorce settlement was I gave her everything. It's because all I wanted was my son. My son was born. And I realized I want to be better. I want to give him the opportunities that I didn't have. I want to give him the love that I didn't have. And the money side of things became so toxic. I was like, just take it. If that's what you want, take the money. I just want my son. And it just changed everything because what I found too was all my friends in Scottsdale that I thought I had, because at the time I lived in Scottsdale, they all disappeared. Every single one disappeared.
Why?
Because I was the one that used to pay for our dinners, take us on trips, take us out to the club.
You were funding
that friendship. That was all ego. And as soon as they knew it was gone, they all disappeared. So it just kind of reset my thinking of how I like my relationship with money, success, people. So.
Oh, I want to pull this thread because I know people that are just in a very similar situation as you. They are the ones that are making all the money and they're the ones funding all the trips.
Right.
And there are moments, and the one specific person, like there are moments where they're like, well, why don't I get invited? Or why don't they take me out? Or why are they not thinking of me for their Sunday plans?
Right.
And it was because he's constantly the one doing that out of ego.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And didn't know how to build like a real true connection.
That's exactly it. Because my role model was my father, but I mean, he was really a toxic role model. So I've always at a young age tried to be different, but you can't help but take certain things on.
For sure.
And I think when I started making really good money and I was taking people to trips to Vegas and this and that, it was like, oh, I have friends. Oh, they look how much they like me. Oh, they're all around me. And I'm like, But then I look back, I'm like, oh, wait, they weren't real friends. It was, but it wasn't their fault. It was me doing it.
They were a reflection of what you were projecting out.
Right.
What did you have to, like, I guess, heal or work through to shift that?
Ego. Big time ego.
Yeah.
It's to, because what ended up happening was after that happened, the economy crashed. And so, well, no, this is 2004.
This is
2004. So when that crashed, it was kind of like, whoa, wait a second. Because at that point, not to say it was easy, but it was easy to make money. And so at 2004, it became difficult. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. Like everything that my ego was built on, like all I did was transfer it from athletics to money. And then when it wasn't there, I was like, and I wasn't playing college basketball anymore. It was kind of, I had nothing. So that was a big reset of like,
wow.
And then having my son, to be honest, like I didn't care if I didn't have money. I just wanted my son. So
how old is your son now?
He's 21. He's at the Naval Academy. Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So he's amazing. He's just, he's everything I could have wished for. He's a better man than me. He just, he's empathetic, he's smart, he's athletic, he just, he cares, he generally cares.
So. How was it raising, can I ask a personal question? How was it raising your son after what you went through with your dad?
Oh, it was, every day was a joy.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember, and I speak to my brother daily, he's my best friend as well. And
oh, I love that.
He, we talk about it, and I don't remember a single day where I had a good time with my father. I don't remember laughing at all with my father. And so every day, and you know, I don't ever tell my son what to do. Mm-hmm. I just try to help guide him. But I'll ask him. I'm like, hey, would you tell me about your childhood? And he'll say things, and these are words that I could never say. Like, I just remember we always had fun. I always remember you encouraged me. I always remember you loved me. And this, I'm like, it's amazing. It's great.
God, makes me want to cry.
So sweet. I think that's so relatable. Like my dad was also in the Vietnam War, and. You know, my parents had a vision for my brother and I of what we would, I was supposed to marry a doctor.
Oh, there you go.
You know, and he, my brother's a lawyer. He was very much like kind of in your, it still is going through the situation of figuring out who he is because he did everything they wanted. And I think that it's so healing when you can bring that, you know, such a different perspective to your own child and really like allow them to be who they want to be.
Right.
Cause it's like at the end of the day, your dad, my parents, like they just want the best for us, but they don't know, like they didn't have the skills either. You know, my parents came from trauma as well. I think that's just that generation. And so I feel like it's so beautiful that you're bringing this whole new perspective, this healed perspective to just like let your son blossom into the person that he was.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It's thank you. Yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. It's something where I was just very aware every day. It was like, all right, I need to be present for my son. I need to give him the best opportunity. And then whatever he chooses to do, he can do. And he's, again, even the Naval Academy, the choice going there and pursuing it. I always tell him, if you ever want to quit, I'm still going to love you. I'm going to support you. He's like, no, Dad, this is what I want to do. Because I always told him, whatever you do, make sure you love it and make sure you have fun doing it. And if you do it, then do it 100%. And so I'm like, are you having fun? He's having fun. He used to be a high-level swimmer, went to the Naval Academy, and he's like, Dad, I don't want to swim anymore. I was like, then don't swim. Then, and so now he's on the rock climbing club, and he loves rock climbing. And
I'm like, this is amazing. I wish my dad did this, but it's so easy for when you're a parent to again look at like this is what's going to make you successful. They're trying to keep you safe too. Like it's not that it's coming from a place of like I don't want you to have everything that you want. It's just that they're projecting their thoughts on what's going to keep them safe. Right. And so it's so beautiful that no matter what he chooses, you're reminding him. You're good. I love you.
Yeah.
It's not going to change the way that I look of you. And I think kids always ultimately want that.
Exactly.
Like no matter how much, like I think we are always, like I think back to my childhood, I'm like, I was always looking to my dad for acceptance and love. Absolutely, I was always looking around my corner to my mom. Right. Like, Mom, what do you think? Like there was this like looking up to them. And like, as long as they gave me like a, I love you, you're good. Like, that's all I needed.
Yeah.
I didn't need to be told what to do.
Every child needs, that's all they care about. And you look at them, they're so innocent. And that's why I love speaking to, you know, I do these coffees with new people all the time, but I love speaking to all ages because you learn so much. But children are so innocent that they have such an unfiltered view of like life that they'll tell you, they'll be honest. Even if you don't want to hear it, they'll tell you something and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I have a big head. Oh, okay. So, all right.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. Did you ever get the chance, or I don't know if your father's still alive, but did you ever get the chance to like talk to him or to communicate, like to heal any of it?
No, you know, I haven't spoken to him in 13 years, 14 years. Okay. And before that, it was for like 17 years. And I've tried, but he only, I could point to the sky out there and say it's blue. He's going to say it's green. Mm. But the thing is, he's so good that by the end of the conversation,
you I'm going to think green it's green.
You're going to believe it's green.
So it was one of those scenarios where it wasn't healthy for my family, my son, my wife, that I stepped away. So, you know, and I have no ill will because, again, he wasn't given the tools. I wish him happiness. I hope he finds happiness.
Yeah.
I just, you know, he's from a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's also like a very bold move. And like, it's inspiring to hear you say that because I think a lot of people want to hold on.
Right.
And don't know how to be like, well, at the end of the day, I'm protecting my family and this is what we need. And right. You made like, it seems like a very aligned, authentic decision.
Yeah. You know, I've tried with everything. And I tell people all the time, what I'm seeing a lot lately is I do coffees with, you know, people of all different ages, but something's going on now where everyone's kind of in this, I don't want to say crisis, but this life-changing moment.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's people holding on to something in the past. Mm-hmm. And it's the friends you had in your 20s may not be the friends in your 30s, and they may not be the friends in your 40s and so on, but it's okay. But we hold on because we don't want to be thought of in a certain way. And so we hold on to friends that we know deep down that it's probably, it served its purpose at that time.
Yeah.
But you're in a different path. I think a lot of times we hold on to things because we think that's what we're supposed to do. And I think that holds us back. So, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
But how to like bridge the gap between that, between like who your old self and the people that are a part of that, the community that results that, but you're also being called into different directions. So how do you navigate that?
Yes.
But then I think when you feel that pull so deeply, it's like, but I really want to go that
I
way.
Know, right?
I don't want to go that way anymore. Yeah. And it's like, but I feel like I have to go that way. And you're like, well, how do I, and the other thing I think people fall into is like, well, I want them to come with me.
Right.
And then there's this like desire of like, well, there's a really good path this way. Like come with me. And then you have to be like, well, I can't make you do that. Like at the end of the day, like they have to choose what's best for them as well.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I think too, a lot of times the individuals that I meet with that are in their 50s, they've hit their midlife, and they're having marital issues or relationship issues. And I think that's a big thing is that some people are on a path of evolution and growth. Some people are completely, they're happy with the way they're like, well, it's been great. Why would I want to change? And you know, when two ships start to veer off, it's difficult to get back. So I think that's the thing is you can't tell somebody, hey, I'm going this way, so come this way. They kind of have to figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
And eventually, and still you should fully embrace the love that you had, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to be the future.
Oof. So good.
Yeah, so true. I think, you know, we talk about this a lot too, is there's this shift happening in consciousness of just like spiritual work or inner work, wanting to evolve as a person. And I think that it's, I won't say it's predominantly women. I think it's easier for women to access that with our intuition, but I see men doing that as well. And I'm curious if that's what you've noticed in the conversations you have of like, whether it's the man or the woman, of this like inner work coming out, this wanting more, wanting, realizing that this system that we live in is very broken.
Right.
And almost what's beautiful is like the realization you had when you lost everything, I think is what everyone is experiencing right now, which is that money does not equal happiness.
Yes.
And we need more. And what you're cultivating and what we're trying to cultivate with community is what we think, you know, I won't speak for Krina, but I think we agree, like is what people need is like connection and community and this safety to feel like you can go into the depths of yourself and show all of yourself to people.
Oh yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I mean, that resonates with me and you're exactly right. I think and it started because that's what I needed. And that's why I started the group is, you know, coming out of COVID, everyone got isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was Zoom, everything was via digital format and there wasn't this human connection. We had to quarantine. And so I went stir crazy. And so I started noticing even myself, you know, depression, things like that. You're at home, everyone's drinking. And so right away, I'm like, all right, I want to start doing these coffees. I need connection. And so I started doing these coffees. And that's what I kept seeing, too, and hearing. Everyone I was doing coffee with, no matter what they had, they were a biotech CEO, you know, worth billions, to a waitress, a waiter. Everybody was struggling. There was something because we've all kind of reached that point where, yeah, there's got to be more. There's got to be something more. And so, but it was just kept being a common theme. And what I noticed in myself was the more I kept doing these coffees, I kept feeling better. I kept evolving, and my views on things kept getting better. So it was that human connection. So it just kind of naturally, I couldn't necessarily find community. So I decided to make community, and that's what's happened.
Okay, let's talk about community then.
Yeah.
So how do you, okay, I don't even know. Well, maybe tell us a little bit about how you've put yourself out there to find community. Because I think something that people struggle with is like, they know that they need connection, but they also don't know where to start. So a lot of people ask us, like, especially our virtual community, they're like, I can't find things like this in person.
Right.
Or I can't find my people, or like, I am now growing in a different direction and my current group doesn't really align, but I want a different group. Mm-hmm. So you know what I mean? Like, right, all that transition. So what are either some tips or something that worked for you and just really putting yourself out there,
right,
to find your people that meet you today?
Absolutely. Well, so I think the biggest thing is not to, when you're trying to find your people, you kind of have an idea of what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Don't look for those people. Just have conversations with everybody. Mm-hmm. And so the way I did it was, now I don't necessarily recommend this because it's a full day. I do 4 to 5 coffees a day with individuals.
Are you drinking coffee every at every meeting?
No, I have decaf. Okay.
I
by
was
the
like,
way.
What are decaf. You doing? Yeah.
I'd be way
are
too
you
nervous.
Cracked out?
Yeah.
By the end of the night, you're all hyped up.
I know.
Like, yeah, today was a really good day.
Yeah, exactly. I just have herbal tea or decaf.
Uh-huh.
But it started off being one new person. I would just speak to someone just, mm-hmm, randomly. Like, hey, I would love to grab coffee with you and hear your story. And it's, mm-hmm, and what's amazing too is people never ask people about their story. Because typically when you meet with someone, they just talk about themselves.
Right.
But, hey, let me hear your story.
Or they ask you, what do you do?
Yeah, well, yeah,
well,
exactly.
That's the first thing.
That's the first
thing.
What do you do?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you go to these networking events, you go to events, they're like, oh, what do you do? And it's, well, I'm more than what I do.
Right.
And so, you know, I had these coffees and it was amazing. I would speak to the biotech CEO. He's struggling. He's having issues. Or he went through this big traumatic event, and that's what was the turning point was. So I learned from that. Mm-hmm. And that energy exchange is really amazing. And it's people that I normally never would have hung out with or spoken to. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden just kept opening up. And it just, when I let that happen, just opportunities, friends, community just kind of happened, because I wasn't trying to be like, well, I only want these people, people that like jujitsu or people that like certain types of business. It was everybody, and it just opened everything up.
I love this so much. Yesterday I was talking to my fiance about this. I was like, sometimes we put ourselves in a box.
Yeah.
And I think we can trust ourselves with the information that we have within that box. But when you start to like get yourself outside of the box and have conversations with other people,
right,
you learn more information.
Yes.
And I think people so easily want to like focus on, well, I'm looking for this kind of information, or I want this person to solve this little thing.
Right.
But it's through the conversations, which is probably like my favorite piece. Like, I also love relationship building. Right. I love getting to know someone. I'm like a divinely curious person, but because I want people to show me what I do not see. It's like my ultimate thing. And then,
yes,
if I then I'm like, oh, I have new friends that I not only got to know much deeper beyond what I thought they were, right? Because I think we all go into relationships sometimes assuming like, this is what they're like. But it's in the conversation where you,
exactly,
find the connection.
Yeah. And that's why I thank the time that I had as a child working at the restaurants, dry cleaners, because I was meeting different people all the time. And I really had to. It's funny, people always think I'm a extrovert, but, you know, I'm kind of shy. And so I was shy as a child, but I had to force myself to get out of my skin. So it was all these constant things of getting comfortable in uncomfortable situations. And so every traumatic event that happened, that was just an uncomfortable situation that I had to learn to get out of. And so then that just opened things up. So when I speak to people, it's, yeah, I always tell people, and that's why I say it doesn't have to be jujitsu. I love jujitsu. I've been doing it for years. And you get comfortable in uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. And that is so enlightening.
It's also so good because it's what builds resilience.
Right.
And I think so many parents unknowingly do a disservice to us because they try not to make us uncomfortable.
Yes.
They try not to let us fail. They're like, here, we'll do your project with you, or for you, or we'll help you. Or
Right. It's
okay, instead of just allowing us to fail or to, you know, be uncomfortable. And I think there's a lot of power in that. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a lesson that clearly you've carried through your life.
Yes. Oh, no, absolutely. And I think you're exactly right. I think the participation award was the biggest disservice to
Like, yeah, everyone gets a trophy. Yeah,
everyone gets a trophy. But then you never learn. And then it's either in jujitsu, we always say you either win or you learn. Because there's always a learning opportunity. And to be honest, I've learned way more when I lost my competitions than when I won. When I won, it was like, okay.
Cool.
But cool. Yeah.
Everything's still the same.
You get a cheap medal and a t-shirt and that's it.
Yeah.
But when I lost, it was like, all right, now I need to work. Now I need to work. Mm. And so, you know, I think speaking to people, it's also, that's the other thing too, is speaking to people that you're not used to, that they don't necessarily fit in your box. That's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just coming up to a random person and be like, hey, would you like to grab coffee?
Mm. That's really uncomfortable for people. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Even people smiling to strangers is uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do this thing. It's funny. I call myself a smileper. So if I'm ever out and I see someone that's not happy, I try to do everything I can to get them to smile. If they're pissed off. And as soon as I get them, I'm like, that's one more notch. I'm like, I got them. So I just try to, because the thing too is I came from such like dark places that I just want everyone to be happy. Everyone deserves to be happy. Everyone should be happy. The only way we can be happy is through community, is that support. Mm-hmm. To feel like you can be walking down the street by yourself, and if you run into, say, a group member, you're like, oh, hey, how you doing? I love that feeling. That's that extension. That's a legacy that's being passed along.
So good. So something that I've heard about you that people share about you is that you're so good at like seeing people and what they want or need. How do you do that?
Just ask questions. Yeah. It's these conversations, because again, a lot of people don't ask questions. So we'll sit down for coffee and I'll start, I want to hear your story. Tell me about yourself. And I can start picking up, because body language of people when they talk about, well, yeah, I'm an engineer, and you just kind of see them. Yeah, you know, I make good money. And they're just kind of just, but then when we get into the conversation, and then they start going, but I really like doing this. And then they get a little livelier. I'm like, that's it. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And I get it. California is expensive. Just to live in general is expensive. You have to do what, you know, pays the bills. But I'm a strong believer that if you follow your heart, you could still get rewarded. So you can still find a path of maybe doing what you're doing, but preparing for what you really want to do. And there's definitely a balance. So it's, I've worked with corporate, and I still do with Fortune 500 companies and small business owners, but it's this common thread that I see that business people that are way too business, they lack the heart, and they're stressed and they're always chasing, and it'll never be enough. But at the same token, I see holistic healers and people in different coaching modalities that never make money because it's all heart. And so what I try to do is bridge the gap so that you need a little business, but you need a lot of heart as well. So it's this balance.
So I love this conversation because we talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. And this has been new for me too, because I'm still in corporate, for example, but I have these passions and I'm using my corporate as a way to invest, be the investor into my passions. But my question for you would be, in these situations, for someone that is the healer, is the coach, do they go all in into their healing, into their coach modality, and try and make that the business that like makes them so like, because I think what ends up happening for a lot of coaches, because I've been a coach for like years, is that once we start to make it about money, we lose the heart.
Exactly.
So
yeah, how do you
bridge the gap in that? Because I'm like, oh, if I did this every single day, I would feel so fulfilled. Like that definitely feels true. But then there's also this other part of me that's like, well, I got to make it into not only paying the business.
Right.
I have to pay myself an income. I have to live in California. And then when those, not like you're focusing on scarcity, but it's hard to bridge the two. So I'd love to hear like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, on a personal level, that's a great question, because it's true. You could just say go all in, but you still need to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And so the way I've always kind of bridged the gap is I've always hedged my bets. So like right now, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, I have several businesses, but I'm also the director of sales for a tech company. Mm-hmm. Well, I love it, but I try to put my heart into that, but it's very technical. How I deliver my passion though, and take care of the passion side, it's the group. And so there's this balance, but I always tell people kind of the same thing. If this is what you want to do, that you have to be this, but you obviously have to be strategic. So it has to be strategic planning on the business side of, okay, let me allocate. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're probably not going to be able to spend as much money as you were in the past. Mm-hmm. But if you have a clear path and you write it down, a lot of people, they don't write down their path. They just try to manifest. Mm-hmm. But this is where the business side of the heart has to come into play, is if you have to write down, all right, this is going to be my budget. this is my goal. So in 3 months, I'm going to exit my company. Mm-hmm. And this is the process that I'm going to do. As I do it, I'm going to start increasing the time I'm spending on coaching or marketing it and being it. But you're right, because what I've seen too is, and that was a question I asked the group a couple weeks ago, was a lot of people are afraid to ask. And so coaches, if it's to the point where they're having a difficult time kind of getting new business and it just becomes about the money, you can tell.
Yeah.
When you're having a conversation, you can totally tell.
So different.
And it's almost like you're chasing the money away because you're holding on so tight. But if you just, if this is your passion, this is what you want to do, and you truly believe in helping someone and you speak to them in that way, it's going to resonate and you're going to be surprised. They're going to start, the right people will show up at the right time. But if you're trying to chase it, like, well, why don't you sign up now? Why don't you, here's the package. Of course, they're not going to do it. But if you're like, look, I honestly think this can help you. I want to help you. But if this isn't the right time, this isn't the right time. What will end up happening is you're going to start to see other business come to you.
100%. I mean, this is so important because coming from the coaching industry, like when I first started in 2019, a lot of the business coaches put urgency behind people. Mm-hmm. They're like, you get someone on the phone, this is how you close them within seconds, you know, like that's what they were teaching. And so, but I love this model so much more. And I feel that true to myself, but I think people need to remember that people want to feel safe with you. They want to like, be like, do you really care about me? Or are you just trying to get a check? You know what I mean? And I think ultimately people, especially now where people are questioning people more, the lack of trust in marketing, that's increasing. Like we need to spend a lot more time really creating like not just safety, but trust in the other person. They're like, I've got you. Like if you invest in me, like I've got you.
Exactly. Oh, and then there's the business side of it too, is you need to ask. A lot of times people you'll have a conversation with them and you can tell they're trying to lead to asking like, would you like to work with me? Just ask. And if they say, you know, it's not the right time and you then move on and then continue the relationship. But people, a lot of times they'll just kind of, because I'll sit down for coffee and I can tell they want to ask. I'm just waiting because I want to see. I love people. And so
they're just circling around.
Yeah, they're circling around. Like,
when are you going to do it?
Yeah. Like, and then they don't. I'm like, weren't you going to ask me? You know, and I'm like, I'd be your client, like whatever it is, but just ask. And if it isn't, be like, yeah, it's not the right time. Be like, all right, no problem. Let's, you know, continue this discussion.
It also doesn't mean anything of you. So I think that's the other thing. Like when people put themselves out there, they're like, not only are you investing in my service and my product, there is also this attachment of like, you're investing in me. And if you say no to me, they're scared.
Yes.
They're like, oh no, June now doesn't like me because he said no and he doesn't want to work with me. I can't see him. Like, what does he think of me? Right. And like, that's the immediate, I think that's the ego.
Right.
Those are the parts of us that want to keep us safe. And so I think living in that unattachment of like, if someone says no, they can say no and still love you.
Yeah.
They can say no and still like really want to be around you. Just right now is not the best time to work with you.
Exactly. One of our members, Gregory Benedict, he went on a series for 100 straight days. He asked really ridiculous questions to random people because he wanted to get rejected 100 times. And it's a bold series. And I've always believed in this. And so he would randomly knock on a door and say, hey, can I cannonball in your pool? And just see what people... But surprisingly, you know, his confidence got up because if you get rejected and you get comfortable in uncomfortable situations. But more often than not, people were like, okay, because he was confident about it.
Yeah.
Hey, I know this is going to sound silly, but can I just cannonball in your pool? I'm doing this whole trek. Like, yeah, come on in. And they're recording it.
That's
amazing. Hey, can I come in and make breakfast? And like, you know, he got rejected for sure. But he noticed that when he started doing it with confidence, the people started saying yes to him, yes to him.
Wow.
So it's kind of like that. It's like,
I love it.
People, you do, it's uncomfortable to have to say, have someone say no to you. But if you get kind of comfortable with it, and a lot of times it's your own energy, because you're like, you're already almost making them say no by the way you ask.
I think it's hard too, because as a society, we live in a capitalistic society.
Yeah.
So everything is about money.
Right.
But when you tap into your own personal confidence, your energy, and also like surrender, I don't think we're taught to trust at all. Like so many of us have lost trust that, you know, the universe or God or source or whatever your belief system is like has your back. There's something bigger and greater, maybe even your higher self. And I think like the more we can tap into that energy, like people do say yes, and we are cared for, and we elevate beyond what we even think is possible. But it's like you have to deprogram.
Exactly. From
it's, and that is like a delicate dance of letting go of how am I going to pay my rent, and also F this system. Like, exactly. I just want to do what I love, you know? Yeah.
Well, people think, I mean, you're raised at a young age to, as long as you're within that box and you kind of stay out of the limelight, you're going to be okay. Like, everything's a little bit okay.
And they tell you that. They're like, go to school. You're going to be successful if you get a degree. You're going to make money.
Yeah.
Live in this box. And it, you know, it's the number one regret people have is that I wish I would have lived a life for myself and not what someone else wanted.
Yeah.
And so it's at a young age, it's, you know, when the teacher asks a question and, you know, raise your hand if you, you know, and then you raise your hand, you get the answer wrong. And then the friends start making fun of you and you're like, oh, so at a young age, you get taught like, well, I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to stand out.
Yeah.
I say everyone's you're your own brand. Stand out. Just be who you are. Be authentic. And beautiful things that happen for me. People have always said, you know, for the longest time, you know, you're so lucky. Things just happen. I'm like, no, it's because I trust. Yeah. I honestly do. You know, I believe in God. I believe in the source. I just trust myself, to be honest. I
mean, and you have a joy in you. Like, it's very evident that you're moving from a really positive mindset.
Right.
Like, it emanates from you.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing. Joy. A lot of people are missing joy. Like, find your joy. And if it is coaching, if it is community, whatever your passion is, as long as you follow it, good things will happen.
I love that. So I would love to ask you, what are some challenges that you've run into in growing and building the SD group, if any?
You know, it's blown up. So ever since I started with six people, it just kept growing and it kept being so authentic. It just kept growing. So I think the obstacles have been really space, like Gdańsk, where we currently have it, probably seats 70. We have 150 show up. Any events, our events are bigger. So it's keeping up with the demand. And, but people always ask, like, what's the secret sauce? It's me being authentic, but really I think it's because that's what people want. People have been desiring community that it's growing on its own. And I call it the anti-networking group. No business cards, make a human connection, be heart-centered. And I say the other rule is be heart-centered. The other rule is you have to have coffee with me. So it's a lot of coffees, but it's just me.
You've
really
had coffees with 900 people?
No, I'm getting there. But I've been doing this since April of 2023.
This is amazing.
Wow. So it's like four coffees a day.
So every person that comes, you ask them to have coffee?
Yeah, every person. So my Calendly is booked until next year. But I love it. It's, for me, it energizes me. When I get done with the day, I'm like, you know, even when I reflect, I'm like, wow, this person had such an amazing story. Or this person had an amazing story. Or this person, I feel for them. They're going through something. Mm. And it's like,
how has the SD group and the networking and the coffees impacted, I guess, your business or just your community?
It's, again, the group itself is my passion project. The business side, it's been amazing because the energy I'm putting into this, I'm getting it back without promoting my business. And it's again, being tapped. It's being trusting the process, trusting source.
So good.
The energy that I give, it's coming back. And it's coming back to me on a personal level. But business-wise, business is great.
So good.
What's your vision for the SD group?
I would love to. We were expanded to Normal Heights, North Park area. We're going to do Oceanside. But I have people contacting me through YouTube, instant message, to open it in Iowa, in Cleveland. So eventually, I'd love to spread it because only good can happen from community.
Yeah.
Different chapters.
That's good.
Exactly.
And it's really cool to know, like, I've had this desire to not use Amazon as much, to like go buy from smaller businesses, even if it means spending a little more. And I think you're cultivating that by connecting people in all different, because, you know, we haven't explained what the SG group fully is, but it's a place for people to come in any walk of life, any business that they participate in, correct? And then they come and share what they do. Like, tell a little, so the audience can know, like, listeners can know what it is and how it works.
It's interesting. So it's a completely free group. You come, but it's, I always say it's for the community. So we have a large percentage of people that are retired. We have business owners. We have people that they're just trying to figure out what life is, find support. So I always want everyone to come to their group feeling inspired, feeling supported, and feeling community. And so it's been amazing. By default, we've had 77 businesses started from scratch, and they're all successful. from scratch from the group, because it's from same thing. It's me finding out, oh, you have a passion for this? All right. I know somebody in the group that can help you. Or if I can't help you, I'm going to find somebody and let's do this. And it's blossomed into the most common thing people always say is, like, I found my tribe. Mm-hmm. And it's from people from biotech CEOs to yoga instructors to, you know, retired people. So it's people that would never really be in the same room together. They found their tribe with people they never would have hung out with in the first place. So that's the group. I always say to experience it, you have to be there, and it'll call to you when it calls to you. But when you're there, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel the energy. And even when you leave, it's the most interesting thing, because you see it in their eyes. They have this like glimpse of hope. And then they're like, I have this idea. Now I'm motivated. I feel inspired to do this. I feel inspired to take a chance because now I have a community behind me.
So cool. So.
Yeah. It is inspiring to be around like-minded in the sense that you're all coming together for a positive thing is so powerful.
Yeah. And it's really powerful. And we had the discussion before we started filming about, you know, like money coming into cities. So I'm huge on local. It's difficult to run, especially having businesses. I know it's difficult to have a local business. And so I'm hyper local focused. So each chapter is going to help focus in on that community to help the local businesses. Because, you know, again, giant corporations, they have plenty of money, but they don't really care about the community. They pretend like they do. They just throw money at it. And it looks like they're improving the community, but they're actually taking away from it. I'm with the group is what we try to do. Everything, our partners, our sponsors, everything that we work with is local, and we really want to help. And it's worked. When people have events, and normally they'll have 20 people show up to their, say, grand opening, I'll have 200 people there from the group to, hey, let's support. Let's buy only their product for right now to help them. And it's changing the community.
So. That's amazing.
This is literally amazing. The other thing I want to reflect back to you, like, you're such an incredible leader in the fact that, like, not only are you leading from heart, but you're giving to other people's hearts, you know, like you're like saying, hey, your heart can align with this heart. You guys should be friends.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people do that very well. Like, there's just like a special way of connection that someone's always thinking about, like, ah, I know exactly who you should be talking to.
Right.
And I think that's just like a magical unicorn to be around, because not everyone is. Most of the times people are just thinking about themselves, but seeing outside of yourself is so huge.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And it comes from me not having that growing up as well. Mm-hmm. So everything I do it's something that I need, or I want to be the person that I didn't have growing up. And so that's what I want to be for the people in the community. And I want them to be, and I really strongly encourage this with people, is to do these coffees with people on your own. And they have. And they said it's changed their life. It's changed other people's lives. And because you never know. My best friend, he checked every box. And he had his dream job. He was an Uber athlete. Good-looking guy, funny guy. He ended up killing himself. And so it comes from, but the thing is, he checked every box. You would never know it.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things that it's a mission of mine just to make sure I check in on everyone. Make sure no matter what it looks like from the outside, hey, are you doing okay? Mm-hmm. Let's talk. Let's be real. Because a lot of times people will try to pretend to be something. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you be open and honest, be vulnerable. I'm going to be vulnerable. And that kind of opens the door for the rest of the community to be vulnerable, and just beautiful things happen from that.
Do you have someone that does that for you? Like, do you have people that think of you always by being this way?
That's interesting. No, just ask that. It's a good question. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's, you know, honestly, I try to be, again, the person for my son. And so I'm open with my son. I do go to my son a lot, but it's the, when it came to that, I'd really, besides my wife, you know, I didn't have that community. So that's why I formed the community. But the group is everything to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can go to them if I have an issue. I even started a men's group, which is cute.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, because that's what he did. I was like, hey, can you start a men's group? Because honestly, that's what I need. I needed, because I lead in every aspect of my life. I needed to be in something where I could just be.
You could just show up.
Yeah. So the men's group's been crucial for me. It's great to just be and not have everyone look to me for answers, and I can just be vulnerable and say, hey, I'm having a tough time with this, or, you know, so.
I love this. Do you know what your human design is?
Yeah. Generator and, What's the other one? It's a that manifesting generator.
Oh, manifesting generator.
You're yeah.
I'm like, are you a Gemini?
Yeah. No, I'm Aries.
Oh, Aries. Oh, Aries. Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Amazing. I love it. Yeah. At this point, I would love. Well, anything else that you want to share with the audience?
No, I think the only thing I would share is really try that. Do coffee with someone new.
I mean, that's how we became business partners and friends. Really? Is like she said. I mean, we met at a clothing swap.
Yeah.
And then we went to a women's circle. But then after, she was just like, "Do you want to get coffee or lunch?" And now we're here. So
see.
I love coffee and lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Both of us love. I mean, we just had a whole episode on this of like being getting curious and having even difficult conversations with people, right. Like being open to hearing other perspectives and even if you don't agree with them, just allowing people to speak their truth and be seen. And there's such a gift in that.
Oh, absolutely. It's huge. It's like even to be someone's biggest supporter, the best way you can be the supporter is also to call them out on things. Because a lot of times you think, to be a supporter, whatever your friend does, I'm 100% in. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's not true. If you see them making a mistake, give them your point of view, and then that's a true supporter. So, I love it. The coffees, the meeting new people, and just seeing different aspects. The group has 75% female base, and I love that. The businesses I've done, the corporations I've worked with, it's very male-dominated. Mm-hmm. It's very masculine. We can learn so much from the feminine side, and that's why I want the group to be a safe place for women, and it has, because there's so much that we can learn from the feminine, and then the feminine can learn from the masculine. There's this balance.
Yeah, that's what we believe it too.
Yeah, we say the same thing.
Really? Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, we just believe it. One, we have our virtual community is for women, but a lot of our in-person events can be co-ed too. And there's this magic that happens when it's co-ed. Right. I'm like, even the women love it. They're like, wait, I loved hearing this man speak so vulnerably and honest, and it's healing for them to hear something like that. And then men get to hear about a woman's perspective, and they're like, oh, wow, my wife's been telling that all the time, but like, I'm finally hearing it differently, you know, right. Like, it's like this beautiful dynamic. And I think we need each other more and more. And I think people are also craving that, like the desire to be like, oh, not just like I live in my own world, but like, oh, I get to learn from you too.
Right.
Not only by gender, but I think diversity. That's why we talk about so much about that episode that we called it. It's like, you actually find your most authentic self by embracing others.
Yes.
It's not through just like being selfish in your own. It's like, no, it's actually learning how to embrace someone else's expression, the way that they think, the way that they believe, their cultures, and not judging them for it.
Exactly.
And we can do that not just with men and women, but across communities. And that to me is authenticity. The more comfortable you get with someone else's authenticity, the more comfortable you can become in your own.
No, you're exactly right. And so it's, I feel like we're in a point of like a great awakening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's been so much division. Like if you're politically right, you hate the left. If you're left, you're, you know, religious. But people are starting to wake up to that. Be like, wait a second.
It's top and bottom.
Yeah. Right. And so but that's it. And the vulnerability, when I'm vulnerable with someone, it kind of catches people off guard, but then it gives them the permission to be vulnerable. Back, and then now it goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that we both think about, I think one of the biggest gaps in that is like people want to be right. They feel so safe in being right. And it's like, well, what if there can be multiple truths? Yeah. What if like my truth and your truth can coexist? And it's like, why are we fighting to be right? Especially with the divide. I'm like, whoa, it doesn't matter who's right. Like, just tell me what you believe and share with me. And I think that's the other part that we talk about is like a lot of people get to this place of like, I'm not going to tell you because you need to learn on your own. And I'm over here like, no, like share with me.
Yeah.
What you feel, and I'm open to receiving that. So I think it's on both sides, right? Like the more that we work on ourselves, we live by example, the more we welcome people into that. And you do that so beautifully as a leader for the SD group. Like you're literally creating it because you are living and breathing and embodying that.
Yeah, I absolutely believe it. Again, the group is something, it's community is what I need. So I'm going to, and I tell people, we have over 100 people that show up every Friday. And I always tell people, if only one person shows up, I'm still going to be there. I'm going to have that energy exchange with one person. over 100 people still end up showing up, and I show up authentically every time.
That's one of the things I think social media has done a bit of a disservice to, is this idea that we need so many people to make a difference.
Right.
But I always, like, I talk with my husband a lot. I'll be like, you know, if you just change one person's energy through your own, you don't know what that person's going to go and do. You could shift the whole world. Like, truly, you don't know who that person is or what they do or what they're going to become. And even if it's only that person can go and change someone else's life. Yes. And it becomes this domino effect. And I think social media makes it seem like if you don't have this many followers or you're not impacting big enough or whatever, like, I think your group is a perfect example. You don't even need to be on social media if you don't want to. You can come back to one-on-one in person and you can cultivate a beautiful life for yourself.
Oh yeah. 100%. And you know, we can't help but kind of fall into that kind of mode of like, oh, how many views did I get, or you know, whatever it is. But I always tell people, I told Q this a year ago, and he's blossomed, he's taken off. Just posting ghosts, like, if you're trying to get followers,
it's not the right intention anyways.
You're not doing it right. Just be you. If you have something that resonates with you and that you have something to say, just say it. Mm-hmm. The right people will show up at the right time every time.
Back so to good. Trust and surrender.
Yeah, exactly.
And to being you boldly. You know. Okay, so one question that we love to ask everyone is, where in your life are you feeling called to be more fully expressed? This could be life, love, or business.
You know, I think for me, it's, I give a lot. The group is everything to me. It's, for myself, it's taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. I've taken care of myself through the group and helping other people, but I've ignored what I need as far as like if I need help. So the group is one of the reasons why it's taken off, is because one day I had been doing it for 2 years all by myself, set up the filming, everything, just everything, the outreach. One day I just asked the group, I'm like, hey, but I was hesitant about it. I was like, hey, if anyone wants to be a part of a committee, I'm putting together a committee to help, you know, expand the group and help manage some of the things that I do. And all of a sudden 30 people raised their hand. I was like, whoa. And it caught me off guard. It was a beautiful moment, because now I still get to do these coffees and I still get to expand and help people. Everything else is being taken care of by the committee. I give great advice, because I'll tell companies when I consult for them, hey, you need this, you need to get a team behind you. I don't take my own advice.
Well, you're an Aries. Like, Aries are like, I got this. I'm going to do it all myself. Right? So that's a huge,
And I've always lived that way. And every time I do ask, it gets answered. And I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. Why don't I listen to myself?
So. Something I really want to reflect back to you that I've just heard through this whole conversation is, it's very clear that through your work, your dharma, you're actually healing like all the wounds of that child who had to do it alone. And I think that's really beautiful, because you're clearly living out your purpose. And if all those things hadn't happened to you when you were young, this might not be who you are today. So, and you're such a beautiful human.
Oh, thank you. So, so are both of you. I mean, this has been an amazing time. I love this. I love this. And you can just feel the energy in the room. I just got goosebumps.
But I did too.
Yeah. But it really is. I mean, it's, I wouldn't have had this opportunity if I didn't have the trials and the chapter changes I had in the past. It led me to this point. And we were supposed to meet and have this conversation 100%. At the time, because I'm just letting the universe play out.
Yeah. I mean, it's also always perfectly timed.
Right.
You know, I think. And I mean, this conversation has been so great. This is why we love podcasting, because we get to get to know you better. Yes. You know, it's like, whoa, we get to like have this incredible conversation with someone. What does it look like to share it with other people?
Yeah.
And then they get to be in on the juice too. They're like, I just also received so much energy from this podcast episode. And it's like a ripple effect. So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. Yeah, I was always in the past, I was kind of hesitant about podcasts, doing them myself, and then I got pushed into it. But it's a great way to get to know somebody and really have an authentic conversation and really kind of forget about the microphone and the cameras. And
you don't even know this is here.
You don't even know it's here.
You're like, what do you mean? We're just at home.
Yeah, exactly.
We're over coffee. Exactly. We're just having a conversation.
Yeah. Well, and then I always tell people too, like, we don't have to post anything. Like, if you don't like it, we don't have to. But the conversations are always so great, just because they're just open. So
you're so flexible and adaptable. He's like, you don't have to post this if we don't want to. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to listen to the audio.
I'm
I don't
need to.
He's never going
to
hear it.
I'm never going to listen.
He's like, it's okay.
Maybe that's our challenge to you, to listen to the episode back.
Yeah. True.
We invite you.
We invite you to listen.
I'll look at the shorts, maybe. How about that?
Okay,
bye. Like, no, but the thing, you know what I was hoping about? I always tell people though, why would I have to listen to it again? I lived it. So true. It's kind of like, for me, it's just move forward, like post and ghost and go.
He's but like, I will say, forward. That's also very Aries. I will say, going backwards, like even a month, 3 months from now, is very powerful because you also see the growth. It's like, because I'm an Aquarius, so I'm very like in the future. But when I do take time, which is not often, to go back and think or listen, you do actually say, wow, I'm a different human today. Or look at how far I've evolved. Or I love that I said that.
Or we take medicine, our own medicine.
Yeah.
Because I listen to back things and I'm like, ooh, I said that so well. I really needed to hear that today.
No, you're right. And again, I give great advice. I tell people all the time, listen, I don't take my own
advice. Well, you have a great voice, so you have nothing
thank
to
you. Feel. But as soon as I hear my voice, I'm like, that's what I sound like? Okay.
Yeah, so, I get
less
it.
Less of that.
So. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
I really appreciate this time.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in you on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your honest thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create content that better serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you. More honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.